Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago. Hope that everyone had an amazing Shabbos and a great weekend as we start another beautiful week that the Almighty blesses us with each week. And we are here to start it off with motivation, Torah motivation, spiritual inspiration for a fantastic, amazing, uplifting, positive, incredible week ahead. All right, well, let's start it off first of all with, boy oh boy, I mentioned sponsorship and then bam, there it comes. Last week, mentioned that it is possible to sponsor Monday Motivation Podcast. And I would like to thank Corey and Liel Weil, two amazing, wonderful Jewish young people, a beautiful couple, celebrating their one-year anniversary. I had a very, very special wedding last year. Two incredible people dedicated to the Jewish people, to Hashem, to God, to the traditions of our people, and truly, truly inspired by their dedication to each other and to the Jewish people and to Hashem. In fact, there's a concept called Shana Rishona, the first year of marriage, and half of their first year, Corey is in the reserves for the Air Force and is in an undisclosed location around the globe for 6 months. And he wanted to dedicate this Monday Motivation podcast to their anniversary, to Liel, who is just so beloved to us and who has grown so much Jewishly. So, Corey, thank you for this beautiful sponsorship. Wherever you are in the world, may Hashem watch over and protect you as you serve in the holy and special American Armed Services. And while he's there, he is taking care of six other Jews on that base. Let's just put it this way. It's not in a Jewish country, okay? A very not Jewish country. And Corey, may Hashem give you strength to have an amazing influence on those Jews there and teach them Torah. All right. So here we go. I wasn't even thinking about this, but it's a perfect military transition to what we're going to talk about tonight, which is the slogan, which you all remember from World War II, right? Loose lips sink ships. Ta-da! Who in the world knows what I'm talking about? Well, I actually saw it on a poster a few times at the Chicago Science and Industry Museum, but other places as well. There's an incredible naval submarine, and they have a lot of the World War II slogans and messaging and commercials, etc., from the United States Army, etc. And information then, as it is now, was very sensitive. And you just never know with what you're going to say just might reveal a secret that could lead to disastrous consequences. Oh, it's just one person. Oh, no one will ever find out about it. Oh, it will never get out. And the American Army, American Navy, etc., came up with a slogan, loose lips sink ships, because it could be that if you have information that is sensitive, potentially, then it could end up in the wrong ears and give away a position of a ship or whatever it may be. And therefore, we need to be very, very careful of what we say and to whom we say it and how we say it, because it could lead to disastrous consequences. All right. Nice idea. Good historical segment. Nice, Rabbi. Good. What's that got to do with anything? With the price of tea in China, as they say. Well, here we go. As we mentioned last week, we are in the midst of the 3 weeks. Now, again, we mentioned 3 weeks to most American Jews. They think yearly vacation. Yes. No, the 3 weeks are the time of mourning of Jewish calamities that have happened throughout our entire existence. And it starts with the fast day on the 17th of Tammuz, which we had. And we are making our way towards Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, which is a 24-hour fast day. And that is coming up. And that commemorates the destructions of both temples, the expulsion from Spain, and many other unfortunate incidents, including the start, the commencement of World War I. And those people who've done a little bit of history know that World War II is a direct outgrowth of World War I. And by the way, World War I would have been bad enough for the Jewish people. A few hundred thousand Jews died, and thousands of Jewish communities in Europe were uprooted, and it was a very, very, very difficult war. It would have been bad enough of itself. It was just overshone by the horrific and supernaturally, incredibly awful and evil World War II from the Nazis, of course. Okay, so that is the period of time that we are in. The Gemara, the Talmud talks about, ready for some Gemara, ready for some Talmud, here we go. It says many reasons why these things happened. Many reasons why these tragedies have happened. And I think it's very important. Again, we're speaking Torah, but we're also pointing out contrast with how to view our world. Okay? When we analyze quote unquote bad or challenging or difficult things that happen to us, we don't look outside of us. We look inward. We know that the Almighty could have prevented everything. But there must be something internal that we did wrong to be able to open up the wound that the fly could come into that open wound. We are the ones who destroyed the temple spiritually. And once we destroyed the temple spiritually and God's Shekhinah left, his divine presence left, then and only then could Nebuchadnezzar, in the times of Babylon, destroyed the first temple, Solomon's temple, and Titus of Rome could destroy the second temple. And this is in many of our sources, the Nefesh HaChaim, among others, talk about, even in the Gemara, they talk about the evil destroyers of the temple, just ground flour that was already ground. The kernels, it was an empty shell. They did not destroy the temple. It was already lifeless because we gutted it. How did we gut it? The first temple had certain sins. I want to focus on those. I want to focus on the second temple. The Gemara gives many reasons. One of the famous ones that is brought down and most often quoted is something called Sinat Chinam, baseless hatred. Baseless hatred. That we didn't like each other. Now, let's be honest, when you don't like someone, usually there's a reason. There's some reason for it. Well, you don't like their nose. They look the wrong way. They're not wearing the right clothing. Like, really deep reasons for it, right? If we really analyze why we don't like certain people, many times it's very, very superficial. Okay? Now, and one of the greatest ways that baseless hatred is spread is through the topic that we're going to speak about today, which is loose lips sink ships, is that through our words, through our speech, through our dialogue, we can sink ships. Ships are not only the floating kind on the water, but vessels, human beings. Words can kill. Words can destroy. And I want to get into why that's true and focus on potentially ways to work on that. Now, people, let's get this straight. It took me a while to wrap my head around this concept. You know, if people would ask, you know, what does the Torah want from us? Well, everyone say, you know, I guess you're not supposed to eat shrimp. And obviously, murder's off the table, adultery's off the table, stealing's off the table. Those are things, you know, maybe do something for Shabbat, for Shabbos. Okay, and those are concrete actions. Those are things that I actually can do, feel, measure, interact with, and quantify. But speech, words are nothing. They're just things. They're, you know, the sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And they're really a thing. It's a thing. You can have a sin for saying the wrong thing. And in the Torah economics, it's actually the same thing. If someone would take a big fat pork chop, don't try this at home, folks, and eat it and bite into it and swallow kazayas, a certain olive amount size, you'd be obligated alive in the Torah and could be with Malchus with flogging at the time as the temple means serious stuff. Eating non-kosher food willingly, knowingly, that's serious stuff. It's a concrete action. Guess what? When we say Lashon Hara, when we say evil speech, it's exactly the same law. It's exactly the same Torah prohibition. It's the same strength wire that we are cutting. And so therefore, a very, very important principle is that the Torah values what comes out of our mouths just as much as what goes into our mouths. Everyone focuses on kosher. God bless them. Continue going. Rock on. Look for those OUs and CRCs and all the hectares, the kosher certifications on your packages, and be vigilant, because we believe that non-kosher food is a type of spiritual poison. Yes, it's a spiritual cholesterol that clogs our spiritual veins. It is a very important concept. Maybe we'll talk about why we keep kosher another time. But I'm only emphasizing kosher food because everyone knows that's a concept, but people don't know that there's kosher speech. And therefore, if we would say things inappropriate, it's the same level of sin, the same level of violating our relationship with God. And how much baseless hatred has been created because of things that people say? Okay, we're going to get back to that. But what I want to delineate right now is to outline, it's not only one prohibition, there's several prohibitions. The Torah talks about a rochel. The main prohibition against speaking evil of others is the prohibition of rechilas. That's how the Torah couches it and packages it. A rochel is a peddler. And it says that you should not go and walk like a peddler among the people. Meaning what? The commentators explain. We're not talking about goods and services here. We're talking about a peddler who has good, juicy information. He's got good gossip, and he goes from one town to the next, and he's spreading it. He's got his good, his merchandise. And that is the language. And the actual prohibition of Achilles is when someone says, "Hey, Joe, did you hear what Sam said about you?" He's stirring the pot. It's not even saying something negative to the person. That's something different. It's, "Hey, Joe, did you hear what Sam said about you?" It's the ultimate in social breakdown. It is taking private information and stirring the pot and creating enmity between people. And that is Rechilas. We have another prohibition called Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is negative or harmful speech that is directed towards a person. Now obviously harmful speech is you spread lies about a, well, we're going to get to lies in a second, is you say something negative about a person, even if it's true, or you could say something harmful about a person. You could give away their stock information. You could say something that would lead to them to get hurt, is that you could inform on them. Those are all types of Lashon Hara. It doesn't necessarily be negative, i.e. The example that the children's book gives is there's a big bully on the street and he doesn't like people with green shirts. And you go and you say, "Hey, Joe's walking down the street and he's got a green shirt." So there's nothing in fundamentally negative or degrading about a green shirt, but it would lead to his damage. So anything that's either inherently negative or potentially damaging. All right, that is called Lashon Hara. There's other prohibitions called Ona'at Dvarim, Ona'as Dvarim, which is just hurtful words. speaking harshly to another person, saying negative things to a person, hurtful words to someone who lost a loved one, and to say something crass about that loved one, that's hurtful. Or someone who lost their job and to somehow make fun of them for losing their job, that's called hurtful words. Or someone who may not be as thin, or someone who may not be as good looking, or someone who may not be as talented, or someone who may not be whatever, to point these lackings and deficiencies out to the person, that's called onas tvarim. It's hurtful words. And this is what creates pain, sinas chinam, tremendous hatred among Jews. And therefore, that is why during these 3 weeks, when we are trying to rebuild the temple spiritually, each mitzvah is a new spiritual brick in the wall. To quote, I don't know, some English band, but I think that was the guy who doesn't like Israel. But okay, as an aside, each spiritual brick in the wall, and then the physical bricks will be built with a temple. Now, I have to say, I'm going to get a little personal here. This idea of rechilas is so devastating. It is so destructive. It literally can destroy relationships. Now, as a rabbi, I have, I would say, a privilege as a counselor to advise certain people. And I will tell you what's happened, unfortunately, too many times in my career, that a student will ask my opinion about the person that they are dating. And I use measured words. And if I really don't feel that this person is right for the person for whatever reason, and I'm close to the student and we have a very, very close relationship, I will give my opinion. And it has happened not once, not twice, several times, that person who asked my opinion will tell the person they're dating what the rabbi said about them. It's not a joke. So I'm at the point where I'm not even going to offer my opinion anymore. Or as a case-to-case basis. Do you know how devastating those incidents have been? Do you know how impossible it is to recover from that violation of a counselor? Words are reality. The Hebrew word for devar, for word, is devar. The Hebrew word for thing is devar. It's the same word. The word for word and the word for thing is the same word. Why? Because our words create a reality. Our words are, and they create reality. That's simply what they do. And that's why we love positive people, because positive people say positive things and they create a positive reality. And no one likes being around a Debbie Downer, because the words create a negative vibe and they create a reality. And that is our job. Our job as Jews is to elevate our speech, to speak positively to others and about others. And if someone says something in confidence, we don't share it with other people. We need to be truthful and trustworthy that someone's secret is safe with us. The Torah says that when we speak on a high, refined level, that we rise to a level higher than angels, pure spiritual beings, because we and our physical bodies have every reason to be drawn down to physicality and negativity. But we can overcome that and speak positively. We can rise to the highest spiritual levels and create peace and harmony in our relationships, in our families, in our homes. And I want to emphasize that Lashon Hara is, even if it's true, even if there's a guy walking in the street and we all don't like him and we know that he's a not good guy, you still can't say he's such a blank to blank, even though it's true. And if you exaggerate, that's called slander. That's called Motzi Shemra. And so in these 3 weeks, ladies and gentlemen out there listening to this podcast, I beg all of us, myself first and foremost, this is what we should be working on, to elevate our speech to the level of angels, to not speak negatively or harshly about other people. And there are certain times where we need to. If someone is going to go into business with a crook, or someone really is going to be dating someone that's not good for them, then that's not called lashon hara. There's laws about this. We need to learn the laws. There are certain situations about when you can say negative things, because it's for a specific purpose, latoelas. And so therefore, this is what defines us as a human being. It's not how many home runs we hit. It's not how much money we make. It's how we use our speech. Speech is the greatest expression of our humanity, of our divine soul that is within us, that is us. And therefore, this is the time to step up. And I'll leave everyone with the challenge to take 15 minutes of your day when you're around other people, and take a little notebook or your iPhone or whatever it is, and count how many times in this group people say something negative about another person, just to track it, to raise our awareness. I do this with my students. You'd be in 15 minutes, over 100 negative comments. Each adjective is another negative comment. And so therefore, may God bless us this week of elevating our speech to become the true spiritual giants that we can become. God bless. And we'll see you back here for another exciting edition next week of Money Motivation.